But would like to help anyone who's willing, and I would say this, it would be a huge help to me, those of y'all that are interested, to let's get together and talk about some topics, and then anything that I'm putting together, I want to shoot it to you and say, hey, read through this. That's something I miss with my granddad when he was around, and did that all the time. I'd send him some information and say, I need you to look at this and make sure I'm right. Because it was always comforting when B read through it and he said, yeah, boy, you're right here. Or he'd read through it and he'd go, ah, I think you might be stretching here, son. Let's get back on track. He'd tell you the truth. And it's just benefiting all of us to work together and to help each other. And I promise you, I'm not having much for you this evening. I'm going to tell you, like I told the brethren over at New Bern this morning, I've learned to know my audience and I know my topic. Okay? And when you give people something a little tough, you give it to them in little pieces. You don't give them to them in great big pieces. And I kind of talked about that like that piece of beef jerky that you get sometimes, and you're like, oh, that's a good piece of beef jerky, and you get it in your mouth, and you get to chewing on it, and it just swells up in your mouth, and 30 minutes later, you think, well, where'd that piece of gum come from? Well, it's still a piece of beef jerky, right? And this all started a week ago, Wednesday, and we were studying in Mark, and we talked about Judas. I was like, man, that guy's interesting. I don't know if you really stopped and thought about Judas much, other than he betrayed Jesus. Right? That's kind of what we think about him. So I got to studying it, and got to looking at it, because I was intrigued. Intrigued, okay? But to talk about Judas a little bit and how he's taken on this role that he did, what he did to Jesus, we got to look back at Satan as well. And I'm going to move this here. And while I'm turning to John 8, 44. I'm going to remind you folks again to please pay attention, to please follow along in your Bibles, to read along. Make sure that what I'm saying is accurate and it's right, and it's used right, it's talked about correctly. Okay, that's our goal for each other, is to help each other get to heaven. And I'm going to talk about that again at the very end, which should be, as Ron Daly would say, in about 22 and a half minutes, and I'm watching the clock. Okay, I don't have those long fingers, and I'm not going to be as loud as he is, but I'm going to watch the clock. Okay, so about 22 and a half minutes, or 23, or 4. Anyway, please pay attention and follow along. Be my friend and help me out. Verse 44. Jesus is talking to some Jews here. He says, "You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Obviously talking about the devil there. And if we go back to Genesis chapter 3, just giving ourselves a little background here. And when I was studying this, it just when you get I think when you get older, you just start thinking about things different. There's something about maturity. Of course, my dad's always talked to me. He said, "Son, as you get older, you're going to think about things differently." Ain't no different way to think that. Yes, there is. Yeah. Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 1, says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, 'Did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Notice there again, verse 1. "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast in the field." You all hang on to that pit, okay, right there. Keep it. We're going to come back to it, all right? So the devil, father of lies, he's a betrayer. Judas was the betrayer, right? Betraying Christ. The devil, in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1, he is the serpent, and he is crafty. Keep that, okay? So things that we need to know about Judas and the situation with Jesus is Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him. You think about it. Jesus has gone out, he's done his teaching, he's worked with these men, they've been out, they've seen his miracles. He's had these 12 that's come in, the chosen, right? The chosen. And we know from John chapter 6. John chapter 6, Verse 64, starting through 71. It reads here, "But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning that those who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, 'This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father.' And after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, 'Do you want to go away as well?' Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God.' Jesus answered them, 'Did I not choose you, the 12? And yet one of you is a devil.'" Verse 71. "He spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him." Jesus knew. We can look over in Matthew chapter 17, something similar there. Verse 22, starting. It says, "At every gathering in the Galilee, Jesus said to them, 'The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And he will be raised up on the third day.' And they," those that heard this right, "were greatly distressed." Jesus knew. Luke chapter 9. And I love hearing pages. I know some of y'all are using tablets just like I do, and I appreciate that too. Chapter 9, starting in verse 44. It says, "Let these words sink into your ears. The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men, but they did not understand the saying. And it was concealed from them, so they might not perceive it. And they were afraid to ask him about this saying." Jesus knew who his betrayer was going to be. Right? Jesus knew. Well, what else do we know? That Satan uses greed and covetousness to motivate. Right? And he did that to motivate Judas. Look over in John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Verses 4 through 6. It says, "But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, 'Why is this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?'" I'm going to start right there for a minute. We've talked about this story before, and we know this story, that this ointment was going to be used, and the scent was going out. But Judas is the one, right? It says, "Why was this used? This could have been sold." Well, what was he thinking, right? He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charged the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Right? Jesus said, "Leave her alone so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you will always have with you, but you do not always have me." Right? There was greed there. What? We could do what with this? So we could put into the money bag to help the poor, but what was he doing with it? And as I went through and I think about Judas, this is what this morning as well I kept going back to. Judas was a man that walked with Jesus. He saw his teachings. He saw his miracles. He'd heard him. It was reinforced over and over again of what he was doing was right. And what do we read about him in this setting after what we know about him? Where was his heart? "Why are you doing this?" Well, he's saying this. "We could do this to put the money here, but where is his heart? Where is his thinking?" Not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. If Judas can be that close to Jesus and be the man that he was, how close can I get to Jesus and still betray him? That scares me. That was my fear when we started thinking about Judas. And I kind of feel sorry for Judas. Judas was a human being. He was one of the 12. Yes, he was one of the chosen. But he was still a human. He had free will. He had the right to choose. Okay? But the devil worked in him just like he can work in us. He can do many things to get our attention, to draw us away. And we go back to Genesis chapter 3. The serpent was crafty. The betrayer really used some words to convince Eve to eat of that apple. Well, he was working on Judas here, right? And he got him.
I kind of feel bad for him, right? I do.
Anyway, we can look at some other things here where Satan motivates with greed and covetousness. Other chapters, other verses. I'm going to turn over to Matthew 26. I believe it's one of them that I want to look at. There's several here, but I'm not going to get into all of them because it's going to take more time. And it says, and this is Judas, and he said, "What will you give me if I deliver him over to you?" And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, he sought the opportunity to betray him. So Jesus went back to the people that they've kind of been going back and forth with. He knew who to go to. How close can I get to sin before I'm captured? Well, we're seeing this right now. And when you look back on this and you read back on it, you go, okay, Judas, you were with the 12. You saw these miracles. You saw all these things happening. You saw that the Lord was performing these miracles, and he's who he said he was. And when Jesus said someone's going to betray me, they all sat there and was like, who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? But when you get caught up in it, that's where I think. I try to surround myself with Christians. Judas was with Christians. I try to keep myself surrounded around Christ. Well, Judas was right there in his presence. And yet, what keeps me from being Judas? Nothing. I have to be careful. I have to study it. We have it for our studying. We have it for our reading, our understanding. A question, another question here. When did Judas know what he would do? Look over in John chapter 13. John chapter 13, starting in verse 11. And this is kind of a lengthy reading, but I would like to read it down to verse 30. For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I am not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen. But the scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. I am telling you this now, before it takes place, that when it takes place, you may know and believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me." After saying these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, "Truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, uncertain whom he spoke. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, was reclining at a table at Jesus' side. So Simon Peter motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So that disciple, leaning back against Jesus, said to him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it." So when he had dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Then after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered him. And Jesus said to him, What you are going to do, do it quickly." No one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought, because Jesus had the money bag, Jesus was telling him, "Buy what we need for the feast," or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the morsel of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. We see here that Jesus set an example for them. Judas is there seeing this. He knows. Obviously, Satan's already got a hold of him somewhere, right? I'm here with y'all today. When does Satan get a hold of me?
When does he get a hold to me? Like he got a hold to Judas. Do I need to be careful? I think we need to be careful. We need to be very careful. But Jesus knew, right? He tells us here, he knew. He knew who was going to betray him. Okay? We can look over in Matthew chapter 26 again, verses 24 and 25. It says, the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born. Jesus, who would betray him, answered, is it I, Rabbi? He said to him, you have said so. He knew. That's a scary thought. And we're going to look at something here in just a moment. What do we know about Jesus when he knows? We turn over to Matthew chapter 27. This is a not good place to be. Some of y'all probably know how this is going to read here. Okay?
But we all have been in that moment. If you're a Christian and you've studied enough to know right and wrong, you've all been in that moment when you know, oops, I just did something wrong. And that feeling that's about you, that the devil has just swayed me to do something that's not good. Again, so when you get older, you get to say that word more. When you're younger, you're kind of like, well, that's happened the first time. I'll just get over it and I'll move on, young people. Don't be thinking like that. You don't want to be getting in your 40s and going, oh, that's happening again. And I've been saying that for 10 years or 5 years or 15 years or however long it is. We need to be careful.
Because you think about Judas here. Then when Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders.
He took it back. He realized what he had done was wrong. Why did he do it? Because the devil, the crafty guy, right, got his attention with money, with things. But when he realizes what he's done wrong, he says here in verse 4, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See to it yourself. And throwing down the pieces of silver in the temple, he departed and he went and he hung himself. There's one thing I know now. We can all look back on this and read of it and study Judas and see that we can be really close to Christ and still fall. Judas was close. Right? Judas was close. Really close. He could touch him. He could talk with him. And he saw the miracles. How close can I get to Christ and still be caught by the craftiness of the devil? Right? That scares me. That gets my attention. That makes me think about the things that I do and the things that I say and how I respond to people. Right? And now this. And I go back to this. It's that everyday thing. It has to be every day. Because if we don't examine it every day, if we don't go, and that's, you know, it's kind of neat how the Bible works. It tells us to study, right? To look at it daily. To know what it says daily so we can have the knowledge to know when I've sinned and when I've messed up and to be humble enough to accept it when somebody corrects me.
Well, others that have been deceived. We have the rich man, Ananias and Sapphira. Well, there's people in the Bible we can read about that have been deceived by the devil. But there's one thing that got my attention as I was going through this information. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I believe it's verse 14 and 15. And it says here, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 and 15, and no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as a servant of righteousness. Their end will be corresponding to their deeds. Satan disguises himself as an angel of light.
Satan took on the form of a servant, a serpent. Servant. Serpent, right? Satan, all through the Bible, does whatever it takes to bring people down, to turn them against Jesus, to make them a betrayer. What scares me is I am human again, like Judas. I'm going back to that. I'm human like Judas. I try to surround myself with Christ-like thoughts, with Christ-like people, studying the Word, preaching the Word, talking to people about Jesus. That's what I try to do. And Judas is a unique character. Could he have chose not to do it? The Bible tells us we have free will. He could have chose. Somebody else could have carried this on, right? Judas allowed himself to get caught up with greed. What is my greed? What are the things that cause me to go, whatever. I'll go this route today. I'll betray Jesus this way today. How do we betray Jesus? In the things we say, in the things we do, if we don't stand up for what's right, if we don't stand up and say, proclaim the gospel as we should. Because we see things. We're introduced to things daily that get our attention, that get into our minds. And when we get into our minds, we get callous to it. The devil's working. He's good. He's crafty. Okay? And that's not much. See, I'm telling you, I didn't have much for you. But for me, studying this stuff, I'm telling you, I've been thinking on this for a week and a half. And I've got through it in about 22 and a half minutes. Okay? But thinking about Judas has just made me think about how close can I be and still fall short and still be lost. Be lost for eternity. If I've said something tonight that's got your attention that you need to make a change, please make that change. Okay? If you're not studying daily, start studying daily. If you're not praying multiple times throughout the day, put it on your phone, on your calendar, make it go off. Your pocket needs to be buzzing all throughout the day, remind you to say a prayer. And if you don't think about it, when you clock in, if you go to work tomorrow at 8 o'clock, there's a national anthem that's going to be played at 8 o'clock. You think, what would Bumgarner be doing? When that national anthem's over with, I'm saying a prayer. Because if I don't say a prayer at the beginning of every day, it's tough for me to get through the next 7 hours with kids that are going to talk back to me and be rude to me, right? That's going to be tough. Sometimes it's between classes. Lord, be with me. Lord, help me. And that's not saying that tongue-in-cheek. That's sincere, folks. I need that to be a good example to all these people that I come in contact with every day. Because what do those people see? If they see Judas in me, the first time they see it, I've taught them something wrong. That scares me. Okay? If I've moved somebody tonight to say, hey, I need to fix it, in just a moment we're going to stand and sing. I mean, just a moment. If you need to make something right another way, if you need to proclaim Jesus as your Savior and be baptized, you can do that as we come forward, as we stand and sing.